Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Space News Pod. My name is Will Walden, and over here we have Neil Thorne.
Hi, everyone.
And we're going to be talking about Starship SN10 today in the show, and we're just going to hang out and just talk about the events that unfolded.
Yeah, that happened yesterday, and quite a day. It was a long day, wasn't it?
Yeah, that took forever. It was like 8 hours in front of the screen, just watching and hoping that SN10 would actually like finally launch.
Oh, for sure. It seemed to take forever. But we should be getting used to this, I guess. SpaceX doesn't do anything on our time. They do it on their own.
Yeah. On Elon time.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had the scrub or the abort earlier on. So we're just kind of like, okay, well,
a couple hours. Oh, yeah, that was something.
And they said a couple hours.
I think it's down to 0.1 of a second or something like that.
Yeah, it was right there. But luckily they did. They didn't blow up a rocket. That was good. Yep. We don't want SN10 to blow up on the launch pad. That's bad. That's really bad.
Well, I think that stop, or was it an earlier stop? The first time they sent cars down there, I think that they had to stop because there was an open valve or something in the farm and the ground support equipment. Yeah. So that could have been, I would assume that could be disastrous if something went wrong during that process.
Yeah, do right? it.
If they
blew up the tanks.
Yeah, that would be absolutely horrible. I don't know whether that's an actual possibility with that sort of problem, but it's quite possible that could have happened, I suppose.
If it's flammable anything and it's a hot Texas day, you know, anything could happen. So you never know.
Yep.
Stuff could have just been really bad. So
for sure. For sure.
Luckily they didn't. Yeah. It was such a weird, it's just a wild ride. Like all day yesterday, it was like drama. And then, you know the tank drama and then like the abort. It's like, what?
Yeah. But you know what? I was really impressed with SpaceX that they're able to stop things, fix things, and go back and start all over again and get it all done in a very reasonable amount of time. When they had to stop it the first time, they're like, okay, it'll be 2 hours until we launch this thing. And sure enough, it was. It's amazing that they've got that turnaround now. It's kind of more of a well-oiled machine down in Boca Chica rather than sort of the Wild West, as it were.
Yeah, and wait till like SN20. It's just gonna happen. You know, it's gonna be like a Falcon 9 launch where we're just gonna be like another Falcon 9 launch. Like not a big.
I think it's gonna take a while before we get to that point for me anyway. But
it's gonna be years. It's
even the Falcon 9 launch was quite something. There was one of those early hours of this morning, and you couldn't see much because it was cloudy, I guess, and the rocket kind of just disappeared into the clouds. So there wasn't much to see, and I was very disappointed.
Yeah, but it's still cool though. Like every single Falcon 9 launch, every Starlink launch, like Starlink launches are becoming just like, cool, we get another one this month. We get two more this month. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was was that the sixth one this year? So far?
Something like that.
Like it's they're going, you don't even notice how many they're putting up there, but they're really launching at a regular pace.
Yeah. And that's great.
Even with delays.
That's exactly what they need to do. Like they just need to keep cranking them out.
Yeah. But Starship, I think we'll have a little longer until we start to get that kind of laissez-faire attitude towards it.
Yeah.
We've got the boosters to deal with. We've got Starship itself has to launch and land. No problems. And but they get closer and closer every time.
I mean, they landed this one.
They did. They did barely. Barely. Yeah. there were some issues with this one as well, but we'll get into that as we go through it. I think we're gonna sort of jump through the launch and landing here, and explain what happened and what's happening at each stage, and sort of just talk and figure it out.
Sounds good.
All right, are you ready to jump into that then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
take a look at it.
Let's go. All right, so here we have SN10 on launch pad. We're 10 seconds from launch. I figured we'd just watch the launch, if that makes sense for you.
Oh, yeah. It's always exciting.
All right. Let's do that.
I could watch it 50 times. It'll still be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. When they launch these or start these Raptors up, it's quite something. And of course, there's SN7.2 sitting there on the launch pad too, on its own little launch pad.
Yep.
Waiting to explode someday when they get back to it.
Oh, poor little guy.
Yeah. Here we go. Oops. Hang on. Technical difficulties. There we go. No. Ah, hey, it's working.
Hey, there you go. All right. This is where I hold my breath every time. And go, come on.
Look at that. Oh, such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I don't even know. Like,
it's amazing to watch it.
There's no words.
Slowly launch itself up into the air.
Yeah. It just pushes itself up. It feels like, I don't know. It feels like it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. But I think that they've got these down. If I'm correct, I think they've got these Raptors down almost to the lowest thrust they can go to launch this thing. These things are so powerful. Sorry, Jim, interrupting you. But they've got these Raptors right down to really low thrust to get them up there at this speed. Otherwise, it could just launch itself really fast.
Yeah, really fast, really high.
Yeah.
And lose control. So, I mean,
the reason being, I guess, is to just test out these Raptors and have them running longer. Let them heat up. Let them get as hot as they're going to get during a regular launch. And not a regular launch, but a regular landing. Pretty cool.
And the cool thing is, like, this angle, you can see the heat shield, the little rectangular heat shield portion of the rocket too. So
absolutely,
I was noticing that testing as it was going up.
Yeah, I didn't notice at any point in this whether there was any damage to that, just from vibrations and shaking and whatnot. That's what they're doing here. So you can see there's four areas. Where there's heat shield on here, and there's one on the other side as well, I believe. There might even be another one on the ship, but look at those rockets.
Is this where, are we coming up on the first engine shutoff soon? I think it's pretty,
I believe so.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, but it's it takes about 4.5 minutes or maybe a little bit longer to get up to apogee, I think. So it's quite a slow crawl up to 10 kilometers.
When SN8, when they shut off the first engine on SN8, I flipped out. I thought it went out. Like, I didn't know they were going to shut it off. So I was like, uh-oh. Oh no.
Yeah. That was the first thing, right? We had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah.
To SN8. So now it's old hat for us. No problem.
Yeah.
So there goes the first engine.
Yep.
And a little bit of expected fire underneath there. That's not a problem.
Yeah. I was hoping that the fire wouldn't stay like SN9.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We didn't want to see that.
It was
interesting. They showed us. Yeah. I thought this was interesting that you've got one Raptor that's glowing blue and one that's orange here.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether that was an issue. To my knowledge, they should be blue. They should both be blue. So I'm not sure why one is orange there. So that's interesting. Maybe we'll hear something about that in the next coming days, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Look at that thing. That doesn't even look real. Like that doesn't look real at all. It looks like it's going so slow too, but it's hauling ass. Like it's going really fast.
Yeah.
And it's a huge thing. It's like a grain silo flying through the air.
Yeah. This thing's 50 meters tall. It's massive.
It's massive.
Here goes the second engine, I think.
Yeah.
There we go.
A little bit of extra fire going out there, but not a big deal.
No, it's clean. Nice yeah, and clean.
Very clean.
So one of the things that came loose in the in SN9 is those is that fabric you see flapping there. Some of that came loose as well during the SN9 launch. So it looked like it might have been loose there again.
So what does that fabric do? Do you know? Like, is it just a heat shield?
I think it's just a heat shield. Yeah, it's okay. A heat shield protecting wires or whatever else is in that skirt.
Yeah.
From those fires that happen when they turn them off, I think. There certainly wouldn't be too much heat at this point with that rocket sort of blowing it all out downwards. It's only when they shut them off and that burst of flame.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Name is up there that there would be an issue.
I always feel like the third engine is it takes the longest to shut this one off because I'm just waiting for it for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. Or like, I don't know if it's, you know, if it actually takes longer or if it's just me going like, come on.
Certainly drag it up. I think it's Elon. Elon's dragging this out to 420, I believe. We're at 417, 418 now.
Oh, no way. Is that true?
It's 420.
Oh my God. No way. Did he really? Dude.
He did it.
Nice. Nice.
Now this part gets me. This doesn't look anything like a real.
That's not a rocket, dude.
Thing at all. This is some sort of computer generation that they're putting together. Yeah. Just as beautiful. Look at that thing.
Yeah. It's just free falling, you know, and the flaps are controlling it, making sure that it doesn't flip over or spin out of control or anything. And it's just absolutely insane how this actually, like, this actually works.
It is incredible. Who thought of this? For sure.
Yeah.
So one thing to watch out for here is you'll see some instant chill start up again. Down at the bottom, you'll see that there's sort of the venting start beside that bottom flap. And that's their engine chilling the engines once again to get them relit.
They don't want that cold
oxygen and methane to hit those engines when they're hot because they'll just explode. So there you can see the engine chill started right there. That plume going up is the engine chill starting up again.
That's so cool, man. Like I'm right there with everybody else out there with like, I just don't know what to say when this happens. I'm just like, this is so cool. And I just zone out.
So we're going to start up three engines this time. SN9 and 8 started out wanted to. They're going to start out three engines and then cut out two of them. We thought they would cut them out one at a time, but they cut them out both at the same time on SN10. Look at that. That's incredible view. So there's the three engines started. We'll flip around, do the pendulum maneuver. Just beautiful. And then they cut out two engines here.
Yep.
We're going to land just one. Absolutely, as expected. Those Raptors are pretty powerful. They don't need two to land. It can land itself just fine We saw that on SN 5 and 6. So, or not, yeah, SN 5 and 6 both landed with one. So
that's incredible. Notice how close they land to the zone, sure. to the circle.
Now let's like
to
go
the
back center. Here. Yeah.
Okay.
And you can see just as it's coming into land here, the legs have popped down, but we can't really see it from this angle. But there was a problem with the legs. The legs did not lock in place. So they popped down and a few of them locked, but there's probably three or four of the six that did not lock. So they're sort of dangling and weaving back and forth. So it's incredible that the thing landed on its skirt essentially. And it held up for now.
For now.
And then
we'll get into that.
Just as it's landing, you can sort of see a flame there. I'm not sure what's going on with that. So that might come back and haunt us. But also, you watch this thing bounce as it hits the ground. It's quite something.
Yeah.
Boing.
You know, I've seen another rocket company rocket bounce like that.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff who?
Blue Origin loves to bounce on the land as well. But they also hover quite a bit.
They do hover.
And we may see that. I think we may see, I don't know how much fuel is left inside SN10 at this point, the header tanks. They had to run three engines for a minute. So there you can see the fire going. So they ran three engines and then back down to one. I don't know how much of that header tank, those header tanks are being used up in that process. I wonder if they could hover just a little bit more than they are.
Yeah.
And come down maybe a little bit softer. Because you imagine if somebody's inside of this, there's no way you could land this. And I don't anticipate this being the final way of landing, but they certainly couldn't land like that with people inside.
Yeah, this is not the final form.
Instruments. Yeah. So we got fire and the flame suppressant system comes on here. And
yep. When the flame suppressant system comes on, I kind of giggled a little bit because it looks like a lawn sprinkler.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't look like it's doing much, you know, it's just like, you could just get a guy out there with a hose going like this and probably do the same thing, but it doesn't look like much.
There it goes.
But it's a lot. Like
it's a lot of water. Hitting,
it's a lot of water.
Thing. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it. You know, if you look from this angle, you're like,
what's interesting here is
not much going on.
It looks like the flames are out.
Yeah.
But I think that's what the flame suppressant system put out. I've got a theory here about what's about to happen. You can sort of see all kinds of smoke around the bottom, but you've also got engine chill venting as well. So maybe that's related. And I think it actually is. This is my theory. I haven't even told you this, I don't think.
No.
But I'm thinking that there was a small methane leak out of one of the Raptors or something like that when it hit the ground. And I think it's still on fire, but I don't think it's mixing with the liquid oxygen just yet. It's using the oxygen that's inside, that's from the air, essentially, to keep a fire burning at this point. I could be totally wrong, of course, but it's my theory.
It's a good theory.
So you can see the flame suppressant system. You can see where they hit the ground too, just off to the side of the center there where the logo is. Yep. So they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, good job.
But definitely they're sitting on some of the legs and not some of the other legs.
Apparently, leg number three was found across the street. Something, I think it was three found like on the other side of that road. Nice. So yeah, that one
didn't land on three.
Yeah.
So you can see, there's a flame there still just off on the right hand flap there, but the fire suppressant system goes off here. And that's the end of the SpaceX stream. Now we can go, we'll go to S Padre's stream. Mm-hmm. And it's nice of them to allow us to use this. But you can still see here that the flame.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Expression system's going, but this is a couple minutes later. So this flame suppression system goes on and off for a bit, and they think they've got everything under control. Of course, nobody's headed to the launch pad just yet. They all want to make sure that everything's cool, everything's safe. And then this happens.
And it wasn't safe, not at all. It's the opposite of safe.
So my theory is that, that flame was still going on underneath the skirt in some way. Something was burning under there. There's not a lot underneath SN10 that can burn. It's all steel, except for the fuel.
Yeah.
So my guess is that there was a tiny fire there, then a tiny methane leak or something like that, which eventually burned through a LOX fuel line. And of course, LOX is still under pressure. And the two met, and that's what happens when those two things meet.
Oh yeah, that happens.
The whole thing blew up. So it was really interesting. You can see on some of the streams, you could see that the methane tank actually imploded at that moment. It actually imploded on itself. Sort of, you can see it sort of go, and then right after it launched into the air the second time, like milliseconds later, it expanded out again.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Really interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting to see it sort of go. So it obviously lost all of its pressure and then gained it back when the explosion hit it. So basically, that methane tank emptied in a hurry, and then the explosion went up into it, inside it. And it's interesting too, the nose cone. Basically it started collapsing in on itself almost immediately as this explosion started. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. The flame suppression system probably couldn't even get to where that flame was.
I don't think it was so low to the ground.
But what a way to go out, like SN10. Yeah. Like, come on, man. You just landed and you're hanging out like on the pad. Sure. You're just like, man, this is a great flight. Everyone was excited. And then kablam, like the finale, this thing freaking blows up.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. It's awesome to see.
Hundreds of feet in the air. Like,
but think about what they got out of this, right? This is the first Starship, historical, right?
Yep.
This is the first Starship to land under its own power and straight up and down, nearly straight up and down. Sure, there are some issues with the landing legs. We know that there's landing leg issues anyway. They need to replace those. They can't land on Mars with those legs. So they're looking into solutions for that. So that's not really an issue. They know that they can land it. They know the thrust they need. They know the angles they need. It wasn't perfect, but it was enough data that they can move forward with, right? And they can build on this really easily. They got it to a point where it was stable on the ground with the exception of a fire going. So there's just one more problem to solve.
So SN11, hopefully they'll use that data set and just kind of tweak things a little bit enough so that they can actually, land the thing. And then from there on in, like, maybe it's going to be standard. Like, it's going to be a stock thing that they do every time.
Yep. Yeah. Incredible. It was great to see the three Raptors start up. It was good to know that that's something that can actually happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was interesting to see them use three of them to slow the ship down instead of two. The assumption was up until this point that they were going to light three, figure out that their three are lit, turn one off, and then use the two to slow down, and then go to one for the actual landing. But they used the three right up until they needed to go right to the one, which was interesting.
Yeah, that was really cool. It seemed like it would be harder to flip them off like on their own, you know, like three, then two, and then one. Like it just seems a lot easier just to flip off two at once instead of timing it. I mean,
yeah.
And one Raptor, as we know now, can land this thing. So
for sure. Now, the one Raptor does have its drawbacks, though, right? Because you can't land vertically with a one Raptor. It's a little kilter.
Yeah.
So you're always going to land on an angle as opposed to straight up and down. Yeah. It would be nice to for that to work, too. Maybe they need like 5 or 6 Merlin engines under there to light up.
It's like around the outside.
Exactly.
On the outside edge. Just is there room? I don't think there's room. Maybe.
I don't think there's room. No. Not once you get the...
what about three?
The vacuum Raptors up there.
Oh, yeah, the vacuum Raptors. That's right. That's right.
Because there's going to be three vacuum Raptors with a larger bell on them. So it's going to take a little more space up.
So cool, man. I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait for BN1 to launch. The later this year, the booster's going to be... That's going to be so cool. And then hopefully that doesn't crater. If it does, that's going to be magnificent, but I don't want it to. They're probably going to do a small hop first and then, you know, work their way up, of course, because if they want to get
this
thing to orbit.
They'll do a hop like SN5 and 6 did, for sure, just 150 meters or 300 meters or something, just to make sure that it's going to behave the way they expect it to behave at that size.
It's huge, dude. Yeah. That's never been done. NBD. Never been done. Like that, something that large, like,
yeah,
come on, that's crazy.
And how many Raptors they put into for the first orbital test of the booster. I don't imagine they're going to put a Starship on top of the first booster to go to orbit.
That would be cool.
My guess is that'll just be the booster.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll put a little nose cone on top to make it aerodynamic or something.
I mean, would they do a hop with the booster and a Starship and see if they could separate them and land separately? I don't know. That would be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Before orbit.
It'd be interesting to see.
I mean, if they can land a Starship, so if they can land a booster.
Go up to 50 kilometers and separate and, and land both.
Yeah. Land back. I mean, because Starship has to go up higher. It's not just going to stay at 10K all the time. Yeah. You know, they're going to send it up and up and as high as they can get it because it's going to be coming from space eventually.
Keep in mind, they want to do this in 2021.
Yeah.
This year. They want to do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's nuts, dude. Come on. That doesn't make any sense. That's this year. That's in a couple months. Like we might be able to see that. And if we don't get to see it this year, we'll hopefully get to see it early next year. But Gwynn and Elon both said, like, we're going to do this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if she sees the path forward, because usually Elon is like, hey, we're going to do this by next week. And Gwen's like, wait. We got like 6 months, dude. And then Elon's like, no, we're going to do it next week. And she's like, no, you don't understand how people work. So if Gwen says by the end of this year, you kind of figure that they have some plans. You know, if that all works, then the plans will hopefully come together. And by the end of this year, they're going to have this thing working.
Well, that's Elon's modus operandi, right? It's push people as hard as you can. Push yourself as hard as it can again as well. And things will get done faster that way. Yep. That's the way he works. I wouldn't suggest that working at SpaceX is anything but stressful.
I mean, I love SpaceX, but I don't want to work there.
Yeah.
I would never want to work there. Sorry. Like anybody that works at SpaceX, I'm not your type. Like I'm not going to do it. I've worked at those kind of companies before where they just like push and push and push and push. Yeah. You never like get a break. I don't want to work there ever again. Nothing like that. And
it's
people that can
be very exciting to work for SpaceX and see what they're doing. If you're in the right role, obviously, but it would also be very, very stressful if you were anybody who was in the, you know, Elon's eyesight, it would be very stressful to work there.
No, thank you. Even though I love Elon, I think he seems like a cool dude to work for. But also seems like you got to have your stuff together in order to work for this guy or like, you're not going to cut it and you're going to have to go someplace else.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a certain kind of person. There are people out there that could do it. So,
clearly.
And there are amazing people that work there, but also, they get to be part of history in the next, I mean, they're already part of history. The Falcon 9, it changed everything. And now, you know, Starship is going to change even more things. So how cool is that? Like, whoever works at SpaceX, if you get to see this, like, thank you for doing what you do, because
absolutely, you're thank awesome. You so much.
Yeah. Cause you work hard and like you're part of history. So good on you. Sure. Is there anything
we're
else?
Lucky to be here to watch it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We're lucky to be alive right now and be able to see, like, have YouTube and all these other places, venues to watch it. So, so cool, man. I'm so happy. Is there anything else for Starship you want to talk about, or are we all, I think we're all good.
I think that's it. I think we'll probably see SN11 roll out to the launch pad, Monday.
Yeah.
I think they closed the road closure is canceled for tomorrow, for Friday.
Yep.
So I think we'll see it roll out on Monday and they'll get right back to it. On to the next one.
Yep. Just roll conveyor belt. SN11. Okay. SN15, SN16.
But then you see, we'll immediately see SN15 roll into the high bay after that.
Yep.
And they'll start to put the nose cone on that. It's interesting. They don't have the flaps on the nose cone before they are ready to install that. So it's interesting that they're doing it that way this time for SN15.
A little different.
We're going to see a few things different in SN15. Elon has said so, that there's going to be major upgrades. So 11 should be interesting because it's basically SN10. There's not much different to it. It'll just be improvements in software. It'll be improvements in, I don't know what else they're going to improve at this point. Yeah. It's built, it's done.
Yeah, it's done.
how do you improve your iteration when your iteration hasn't been tested before you finish the next one? So,
yeah. And the date, like you said, software. That, I mean, tolerances maybe for some stuff with the software, and that's about it. Like, they just reprogram some
Raptors,
stuff.
Obviously, the Raptors.
Yeah, new Raptors.
Maybe the next iteration of Raptor. Those go much faster because you're doing three per time.
Yep.
But even SN10 had a refurbished Raptor on it. SN39, I think it was, of the Raptor was reused from previous. Raptor that had been taken out of SN8, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man, these are the first three tests. They didn't even expect these things to land ever. No. Like these first three, they just thought they were just going to crater and pile and big booms. That's it. Yep. And so I'm not going to say they got lucky, but man, they were very, very fortunate that this one landed, and they worked really hard to make it actually a possibility this thing landed. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
For me, it just shows you how difficult it is to do this, right? Yeah. To land a rocket. These guys have years and years of experience landing Falcon 9s really, really consistently, unless something severely goes wrong with one of the recent boosters. There was something wrong with the ship. You would think that, or at least I would think that, they would use a lot of that knowledge of landing Falcon 9s on Starship, and Starship would go quite simple. I actually thought that SN8 would land because they know so much about it. They know so much about landing boosters.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to show you how difficult this is, that they're having trouble with this as much.
Yeah. All new engines, though. That's another thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That seems like the hardest part is like getting the engines perfect. I mean, Falcon, dude, they have a decade of experience with Falcon.
Yeah.
So it's like they know, like you said, they know exactly how to do this stuff. That's their job. But this is a whole massiver. That's a real word, by the way.
Much massiver.
rocket. Massiver. That's a new t-shirt. a massiver rocket than Falcon 9. So it's a whole different thing. Like, it's crazy. Crazy that they figured it out.
Yep.
Like, as good as they can do it for right now, they figured it out. So
can't wait for the next 2 weeks from now. Who knows? Maybe 2 weeks we'll have SN11 going.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be something. I'm interested to see how much the pad has been damaged too.
Oh yeah, we're gonna see that in the next couple days. Mm-hmm. We're gonna see the pad clean up, and they had the robot dog out there. They had Spot out there.
You got a double thickness pad this time around.
So maybe we'll just take off the top layer.
Maybe. I don't know whether they sort of attached the two layers together with rebar, or whether they just laid it on top. Who knows? Maybe they maybe did that.
Well, you said on Discord last night, maybe it's the concrete workers, you know, that that did the explosion. Maybe they sabotaged it so they could have more work.
Come back. So they could come back and do more.
Yeah. So they could do some more work. I mean, it's possible. Right. It's not possible. Yeah. I'm just messing with you.
It could be the seagulls, the ULA seagulls. It
could be this. Yeah. Seagull snipers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything's possible, right?
Anything and everything.
All right. So let's wrap this up. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been watching. Thanks for watching the whole thing. And thank you for hanging out, Neil. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Talking about SN10. Of course. Of course.
So let's do this some more.
Yeah. Let's do it some more. Dude, this is the best way to do it. So let's just do this. This is more fun. So, bye-bye everybody. We're going to take off for now. Thanks for subbing and giving thumbs up. I mean, we're on YouTube, so you have to do that stuff. Thanks for all of our members. Thanks to everyone who supported the show, of course. Thanks to Neil. Thanks to Mel for being mods. Thanks to everybody else in Twitch, twitch.tv/basenewspod. There's links in the description for all this stuff. So we're out of here. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
She doesn't like Jeff Bezos.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.